Hello, and welcome to the Campus Bible Study podcast. Campus Bible Study is the Christian University group based at the University of New South Wales. We seek to prayerfully proclaim the crucified Christ as Lord of all, and hope that these weekly podcasts are an edifying encouragement to you, wherever you are tuning in from.
G'day everyone, welcome back to the Campus Bible Study podcast. My name is Nathan and I'm here with Carl again this week. We're still in the middle of mission. We thought we'd give you a quick update on the Mark drama.
Did you get along to the Mark drama, Nathan?
Yes, I went with a friend on Wednesday and it was hard because his heart is still very hard to the gospel. Yeah. But it was really encouraging seeing so many people invite friends. I've spoken with many of the cast and I was really encouraged by them and how they served throughout the week in all their rehearsals and then performing three nights in a row. I thought they did a fantastic job. And they all invited friends and then they would invite friends, meet them beforehand, perform for an hour and a half, and then catch up with them after. And on the last night, a couple of them were with friends at Macca's till like midnight chatting.
It's a great way of sharing the gospel, the Mark drama.
Yeah.
And those of you who speak Mandarin, there's another opportunity, not this week, but next week. We've got two Mark dramas in Mandarin, which is spectacular. Get along to that and make the most of that. Even if you don't speak Mandarin, but your friends do, go along.
Yeah.
You can ask them what the gospel is in Mandarin.
Yeah. And all the details for that on the Campus Bible Study website. But we've also still been working through Matthew, and we have a bunch of great questions off the back of last week's talk on Matthew 5, verse, was it 18?
Yes.
17, sorry, to 48. But, so we'll crack on into them. Our first question is from Selwyn. We've got a couple from him today. Carl, you talked about not hating your enemies.
Well, I said there's no law in the Old Testament that tells you to hate your enemies.
Yes. But then Selwyn, very quick, pointed us to Psalm 139, verse 21 to 22, which I'll read out for us now. It says, "Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies."
So Selwyn's question here is about good Bible reading. If the psalmist says he does something, does that mean it's a good thing to do? Because it's interesting, sometimes the psalmist, psalms are poems.
Yeah.
They're a bit like songs. Songs are poems put to music, right? And sometimes poems have a movement to them, or psalms have a movement to them. So a really good example is Psalm 22, which starts out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Now, that's obviously the psalm that Jesus quotes from on the cross, and it sounds pretty horrendous, doesn't it? But there's a movement in Psalm 22 from that, no one's listening to me, God, why do you not care? But by the end of the psalm, the psalmist realizes that God is listening, that God does save, and that God will establish his kingdom forever. And so we need to be careful taking one or two verses out of a psalm and saying, here's the example of what we should do, because we don't know if it's a movement in the psalm that's going to be corrected by the end of the psalm. So, yeah, have you seen something there, Nathan?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It seems to be interesting because he says that, but then he says, in the Psalm 139, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting."
Very interesting.
So he doesn't seem to be even confident in his
thoughts. I right here?
He seems to be almost being like, God, like, test this.
And there's a bigger principle as well. We must not turn things that are into oughts. You don't turn an is into an ought.
Just because the psalmist did it doesn't mean it's a command.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And so, that's for the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just because something happens doesn't mean that you should do it.
Yeah. But there are still things we can always learn from things that happen. So it's about reading the Bible and continuing to think about how we read the Bible well, Selwyn's asked another great question. In verse 29 to 30 of our Matthew passage, Carl spoke about this. Do you want to give a brief
cutting off your hand if it causes you to sin, gouging out your eye if it causes you to sin. And I said, basically, in a nutshell, isn't it interesting that we've never met anyone who's taken that command from Jesus seriously?
Yep.
And I meet a lot of people who take commands from Jesus very seriously, but none of them have taken that one seriously. So we asked why, and it's because we actually understand the gospel.
Mm.
And it's not Christian these days to cut off your hand to try to stay out of hell. That would not be the Christian answer. The Christian answer would be to trust in the Lord Jesus and his death and resurrection for you. That will keep you out of hell and establish you in eternal life forever.
But Selwyn has then asked, he says that yes, he agrees with you and sees that we are forgiven by Jesus this side of the cross, but are we still not meant to take sin seriously? How do these two verses meaning change pre versus post cross?
Yeah. And so I said in the talk, and I think it's worth repeating here, I said, let it remind you how serious sin is. Mm. Let it cause you to thank God for the gospel, that you have a better outlet for dealing with your sin than cutting off hands and gouging out eyes.
Mm.
And then let it encourage you to put sin to death in your life.
Mm.
And so I think that's the way to read these verses appropriately. I'm not saying don't take sin seriously. I'm saying let these verses remind you how serious sin is and then push you to the gospel.
Mm. That's really helpful. Moving on to another question from Andrew from engineering. Why would Jesus command Jewish people to, for example, cut out eyes and hands if he knew he would die and it won't apply to us anymore? I think it's less about the example and about the principle.
Yeah.
How do we think about that?
I guess it's a fair question to ask, because we're really saying, why didn't God just do it all from the start in the gospel? And you could ask, why did God even bother giving any law?
Yeah.
If salvation was always going to be by grace?
Mm.
And that's perhaps the question that you should ponder. Why did God do it the way he did it?
Mm.
Is it that the law helps us to see how beautiful grace is? Because when we see the law, we realize that we can't make our own way to God.
Mm.
We need to throw ourselves on his mercy because we are not able to do it ourselves.
Mm.
So in a sense, I think that's the answer to the question. God has given us salvation history to show us how beautiful grace is and how much we need the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
He is the high point of the whole history of the Bible. But without the prehistory, I guess we wouldn't understand Jesus in his beauty and fullness.
Mm. Yeah, really helpful and helpful principle to think about in the whole Bible.
Mm.
Katie from ADA has said, what would living at rest look like on this side of the cross? And she gives a couple of examples of things that I've heard, but...
Yeah, okay, so we're talking about the Sabbath law here that I opened the talk with. I'm talking about Eric Liddell, the Chariots of Fire gifted English sprinter who didn't want to run on a Sunday. He felt that was his Sabbath or that kind of thing. Her question is, what would it look like to live out the Sabbath this side of the cross?
Yeah.
In a sense, it's the same as every other law in the Old Testament. There are some laws that, if you try to live them out, it will be problematic. You'll be, failing to be a Christian if you try and live by certain Israelite laws, food laws and various other things that aren't applicable to you. But really, the key thing about Sabbath is what Hebrews 3 and 4 do with it. And they tell us that, I don't want to give too much of a spoiler here, but basically the Sabbath is a lot bigger than just one day a week.
Mm.
And the Sabbath that Jesus brings you into is a lot bigger than just a Sunday or just a Saturday if you're going to keep it on the correct day, that kind of thing. So... this is such a good thing. If you do core training, which I really encourage you to do, and if you do parting words, which is the last course in core training, we spend a whole week thinking about rest and we dig into this issue of Sabbath and the right way to listen to Jesus about rest and the Sabbath.
As someone that got to do half of core training because the other half got knocked out by COVID, the Sabbath week was actually one of my favorite weeks that I got to actually do. So I can highly recommend Parting Words as a core training course.
And good thing Katie is in the course
this
term, and I think we're doing it this week.
Wow. Not every question gets answered in an hour-long seminar with Carl the week after you ask it, but Katie, you're in luck. Harry from Unichurch has asked, Why do we not have any of Jesus' teaching from after the cross recorded?
Oh, Harry, but we do. We have so much of Jesus' teaching from after the cross recorded. It's just not recorded out of his mouth. It's recorded out of the mouths or the pens of his chosen spokespeople, the apostles.
Yes, you're right, Kyle. But I think Harry is more talking about the 40 days between his resurrection and ascension. So we've got like one or two interactions recorded, but it's a good 6 weeks there. And we've seen in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus can say a lot in the space of a couple of hours.
Yeah. Well, this is a really good Bible reading question to ask, because Jesus could have given us everything in that 40 days.
Mm.
But he chose to instead spend time speaking to his apostles so that they would be his chosen mouthpieces to the world. It's interesting, isn't it? I imagine in those 40 days, there was a lot of teaching and training of those key mouthpieces, those chosen spokespeople, so that they could spend the rest of their lives passing on Jesus' teaching authoritatively to us and, everyone across the world.
Mm. And I think it's interesting because John actually acknowledges that there's a lot more.
Yeah, tell us about it.
So at the end of John, he says, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." So John has actually acknowledged there are many more things Jesus did. And we actually get the purpose of why he wrote these specific things in chapter 20, where he says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name."
Yeah. So we have, in the apostles' words, exactly what Jesus wants to say to us.
Yeah.
And we have exactly what we need to understand that Jesus is the long-awaited Christ, who is God's great fulfillment of all his promises in the whole Bible, so that we might have salvation in him.
Yeah. So great question, Harry. Thanks for helping us think. And then final question today from James in Engineering. How do we correctly interpret OT law, Old Testament law, sorry? Jesus interprets some of them, but how do we know if we are correct in an interpretation?
Yeah, thanks, James. Good question. The key principle is to understand that the gospel is the interpretive key for the whole Bible.
Mm.
So if you want to understand the whole Bible, you've got to understand it through the lens of the gospel, because the gospel is the great high point of everything that God has done.
Mm.
And the gospel then shapes how we relate to every other part of the Bible around it. So it's sometimes the hard work is done for us when the New Testament apostles actually take an Old Testament verse or section and apply it for us. But when they don't, when we can't find a New Testament application or insight into a particular part of the Old Testament, we just need to think, what does this part of the Bible say? How does the gospel help me understand this part of the Bible? Mm. And then how, therefore, do I apply it in my own life?
Mm.
And that's something that takes a little bit of practice. Your minister at church hopefully is good at it and helps you with it. We hope to help you with it on campus in Bible study groups and TBT and various other places. But basically, we're trying to read and understand the Old Testament in the light of its great fulfillment in Jesus as revealed by the gospel. And so therefore, sometimes there's not always an immediate application in every verse in the Old Testament, but every verse adds together to help us understand more about our great Messiah Jesus and everything he's done for us in the gospel. So keep reading your Old Testament. Keep asking how the gospel fulfills it, and therefore what application should come in your life.
Thanks so much, Kyle. I think we're about to finish up. So are you happy to close in prayer as we finish up today?
I'd love to. Father God, thanks so much for the things that you're teaching us in Matthew's gospel, particularly in the Sermon on the Mount at the moment. Thank you, Father, for pushing us to see that we can't do enough to make ourselves righteous before you, but that we don't have to, because you've sent the Lord Jesus and sent him to die and rise so that we can be right through him with you. Father, please help us to keep working hard to understand the Sermon on the Mount in its context as teaching to the Jewish people who are living before the cross. And please help us to keep understanding it through the gospel events so that we might rightly apply these things to ourselves and live lives that serve you as our great God and Saviour. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Carl. See you next week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Campus Bible Study podcast this week. Please make sure you are subscribed on your regular podcasting app. You can get in contact with us at campusbiblestudy.org. There, you can also find details about upcoming events and information about partnering with our ministry, both prayerfully and financially.